Hi, everyone. We're here for episode 12 of Discussion with Dre with Nicholas Bueno. How you doing, bro? We're just talking for like 2 hours before the pod.
Literally. I'm like, what are we going to talk about now?
I don't know. We were basically just venting about everything happening in the world right now. Yeah. How you been? And I guess you're back in Winnipeg, but how was your stint in Toronto?
Toronto's good. I'm going back out there in mid-July. My place is still there. I'm just staying with a buddy right now. My buddy was letting me stay in for free, so that was dope. I want to bring this up with you because it kind of relates to what we were talking about off air, but I think it's safe enough to chat about if you're willing to venture there with me.
Yeah,
it makes me think of you because I always said that you kind of look like a young Seth Rogen. Did you hear about Seth Rogen?
Cancel culture shit?
Twerking his ass for cancel culture.
He was bussing it. Bussing it down.
That upset me deeply.
Me too, because Seth made movies that were not.
Yeah.
Even close to what he's saying, like not even fucking close.
And he's like, and I denounce them. It's like, dude,
you denounce his movies?
He's like, I apologize for those jokes I made. It's like, bro, men lie, women lie, Superbad doesn't, bro. It'll go with you to the grave.
It's one of the best movies of all time, like best comedy movies of all time.
And you should never apologize. Seth Rogen's movies were awesome. Knocked Up was a great movie. 40-Year-Old Virgin was a great movie. Okay. Superbad is a great movie.
You may seem more in tune with everything that's going on right now. I feel like I've just been like ignoring everything. So can you explain to me like what kind of happened with Seth Rogen? Like I knew the headline and I knew kind of what's going on. I knew you kind of dissed him on some shit there.
Yeah.
Explain to me what happened.
Essentially, and like I love Seth Rogen's work. It's so good. But it's like good. Essentially what he said was like cancel culture doesn't really exist because, you shouldn't be mad at cancel. If you said something fucked up 10 years ago, apologize. You said something that was fucked up. It's like, but it's not as simple as that because cancel culture isn't just about there's this like universal uniform barometer of what's moral and what's not. And everybody agrees on it. Everybody has different interpretations of what that could be. So if a small enough group of people make enough noise for a bunch of people to jump on the bandwagon, we could be condemning something that we don't have the full picture of. And that's the issue.
Like exactly with me, right? I just heard the headline and I just heard whatever, and I didn't know what the fuck I'm talking about. Right. So I'm just like, oh yeah, fuck Seth Rogen. I might be an example of the opposite spectrum of that.
Exactly. And I hold that belief, so I'm not going to tell you off, right? Like you're affirming what I think. Here's I didn't say this to you off air, I'm glad, because now it's going to sound revolutionary when I say it on air and you hear it for the first time. The issues with people going online and assuming, because again, there might actually be bigoted speech there is bigoted speech out there. It's the fucking internet. Of course there is.
Of course. Yeah.
The problem with labeling everything misogynistic, racist, homophobic, transphobic immediately without giving it an opportunity or trying to look at it and understand the greater picture of what's going on is that when people see those tweets, they immediately, their alarms go off. Oh shit, something's racist. Oh shit, something's homophobic. Because we are taught that those are the worst possible things to be in society. I'm not saying those are good things to be in society, but it's true. Mm-hmm. General society, I think, the culture deems those things to be the worst possible thing you can be labeled. So if you see those words, a lot of people go, if I don't interact with this, if I don't retweet this, if I don't like this,
then I'm a bad person.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I'm somehow endorsing this. And I don't want to be somebody who endorses racism or homophobia. Like all of what we're being told. And I think this kind of starts with the universities. The universities, I think, are shifting farther left, which isn't a big deal. I think naturally the political spectrum shifts left. I don't know what the proper term is. I'm going to say the circadian window. That's not it. Circadian rhythms are when you sleep or whatever the hell it is. I'm fucking the Overton window. That's it. The Overton window is, in the middle, there's something that's law. And then on the fringes are things that are controversial and outside of it is taboo. So look it up if you have a chance. So essentially universities permeate culture, especially in today's day and age, because young people are on social media, young people can spread messages really easily. And I find that universities are moving more and more to the left. And this, again, it's not a bad thing because as time goes on, we need to progress. And the nature of leftist politics is progressive politics. And if we didn't have progressive politics, as the Overton window shifts left further and further left, the civil rights movement wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't have had gay liberation. We wouldn't have had all these things. We wouldn't have had the recognition of trans folks' rights, Trans folks could literally be kept away from buying a house up until recently, which is horrible. The issue with that, though, is once it starts to get farther and farther left to the point of now it's becoming more about, and I think postmodernism is a harmful line of thought. And when it gets to postmodern territory, that's when you start getting to a point of speech is violence. Language is harmful. We should try to mitigate violence and harm as much as possible. So we need to shut down people from speaking. We need to shout people down. We need to have a total control over the market, which is one of the reasons I think people, I don't know why this seems to kind of get forgotten. The reason why Donald Trump won or had the success that he did in American politics, and you could say, oh, he was a terrible president, whatever your thoughts are on him.
Yeah.
He won. He won. He was president for 4 years. Everybody thought that was ridiculous. And as much as people say, Joe Biden was the most voted for president in, I was going to say NBA history, in American NBA history.
Imagine Biden just hitting threes from the outside. That'd be wild. Dude,
Biden would be whack. He'd get
blocked.
He'd be in the G League and he'd be a third stringer. But as much as people say, yeah, Joe Biden was the most voted for president in history, guess who number two is? The second most voted for candidate of all time.
Trump. That's crazy.
And he broke, because Obama was the most voted for president in 2012. And then it was Biden, and next to him is Trump. Trump, I think, has 7 more million votes than Barack Obama. We saw the most voter turnout in history in America in 2020, which is insane. That's unheard of. And how I'm kind of tying these points into cancel culture and shouting people down and kind of the authoritarian style in which cancel culture online seems to run, which I'm disappointed in Seth Rogen with, is because when you get to a point where you shout people down and you don't let them have their opinion, honestly, they don't change their mind usually. I'm sure there's like one or two people where they go, shit, I should just change my mind. But if they're given an opportunity to express themselves without judgment, like per se, I don't know, voting in a booth where nobody's going to find out what you did if you don't tell anybody or if you lie about it, they will express their honest opinion. And that's the issue. A lot of these people run to far right extremist sites. There are some, not a lot, there are some people who write to far right extremist sites. There are people who latch onto racist ideals. There are people who feel marginalized by the left, whether or not it is justified in terms of who's historically marginalized, who's actually marginalized in today's society by law, by culture, by implicit bias, all that shit. If people feel marginalized, they will lash out. And a lot of people use Donald Trump as a middle finger symbol
to American
politics. A lot of people,
because people feel Trump.
Sorry, I'll just say this. I'll finish this up. This
is of course,
a lot of people weren't pro Trump. They were anti Trump. So anybody who's like anybody but Trump, they're like, I'm voting for him because I hate the system and I can't stand how these people are acting.
It's that simple. I think it was the people I know who fuck with Trump, they just didn't like the hypocrisy from the other side and the like the extremists on the other side. Same with probably the left, and that's why the left goes for the left, is because they don't like the extremists on each side.
Yeah.
So it's literally just a battle between extremists and like, even, and a lot of people who voted for Trump, they actually switch sides. There's a lot of people who just switch sides because they're just tired of that shit on the other side.
Totally. Of course there are people like that. Right. I think,
And
I'm somebody who hugs the center tight as fuck.
Me too. I'm right in the middle. I'm just chilling.
Of course. I'd love for people to all think like me, but that's not realistic. Right. I think when it comes to the mob and cancellation, like back to Seth Rogen, which is what we're talking about, I felt like I was rambling. I was losing my point.
You're making sense.
Thank you. So back to that, it gets to a point of, you know, when Seth Rogen says, if you did something fucked up, apologize for it. It's okay, but it's not that simple. Like if I did something 10 years ago, if I made a joke, here's a rap lyric. I'm not sure if you remember this, but in the song Down by Chris Brown and Kanye West, when Kanye goes, I am so retarded with a spit like a retarded kid who spits. Oops, I mean to say that. That was popping in 2007.
Oh, yeah. Like, yeah, people were singing that, rapping that. Yeah.
People were screaming that in the club. People love that song. Now, could you imagine saying that in the rap today?
No.
Oh, my God. People would lose their mind, right? So should Kanye put out a public apology saying, I'm sorry for using that?
Kanye
that
would never.
He never would. But it comes down to the idea that because things are recorded, they're written down, or they're recorded on a rap track, it's much easier to act like it's a belief somebody holds today, especially that person, right? So they go, you need to apologize. I don't think, if you're somebody who's done something 10 years ago and you've already, like, again, Kanye's just trying to rap. At the time, it was socially acceptable. Nobody would think he did anything wrong with that. Or something. Also, no, not nobody. That's
also in rap, just like comedy, you're looking for the most intriguing punchline. And at the time, that was more socially acceptable. I wouldn't rap that shit.
Mm-hmm.
Society moves forward. Society changes. We become more empathetic. We just, you know, that's how that's how everything's going now. That's good. That's a great thing. Yeah. But 10 years ago, you can't judge people for that.
Yeah.
He's looking for the best bar possible. He's looking for the best bar possible. What's going to get someone's ear? Oh, this will be controversial. And back then there was no person like, hey, this is bad. Now there's people like that. That's good. Yeah. That's not a bad thing either.
It's what you make of it, I think. I'm not a huge fan of it because once you start acting like people owe you an apology for something they did a long time ago, that's a slippery slope because we all have skeletons in our closet.
And I don't think I don't think that fucking he should apologize either. I don't think anyone should apologize for lyrics in the past or stuff like that. I think people evolve. Like I said, people are evolving and times are changing. It's simple as that. And I'm sure Kanye West doesn't have any, I don't know him, but you know what I mean? It's like,
I'd love to know him. Kanye, hit me up. I know you're listening.
That's the problem with the, like a lot of these social media platforms. Like there's literally just a tweet, no explanation, and there's no conversation being had, like you said. Mm-hmm. And if we all just had conversations with each other, hey, like I was wrong. Like we mentioned earlier, like I mentioned off camera there, like I was wrong about a certain local artist a long time ago. And I'll admit that to everyone. Like this person blew up. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like on this person's like, oh, this guy's the best ever, blah, 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 blah. But I was like, you know what? I was wrong. I was a dickhead. I was an asshole.
Yeah.
I'll take that. And people have talked to me about that. And I've been like, yeah, that's on me.
Mm-hmm.
And I decide to move differently forward, right? Like I decide to, okay. And I can still do that. I think we're wrong more than we're right.
Yeah, of course.
And as human, as human beings.
If you apologize, like if you ever talk to the guy and he's like, hey man, I remember you were talking shit to me back in the day.
I met him and he looked at me like, he's like, yeah, I know you motherfucker.
If you apologize to him in person, I'm sure there's going to get to a point where like every time you see him, you're not going to be like, I'm sorry. He's like, I get it. And like every person you meet, like, didn't you talk shit about that guy? It's like, yeah, I did. I was wrong for doing that.
Oh, yeah. I say it all the time. I get clowned for it all the time because I actually repost this person's music sometimes. And I'm like,
yeah,
proud of that. Like, you know, and they're like, oh, yeah, you didn't like him. And I was like, man, like, I don't care though, because I'm wrong. I was fucked up for that. I was jealous. Yeah. Maybe sometimes we see that and we're like, okay, I want that. I want what this person
of course.
Has.
Of course,
and the ego hits and like, I'm better than that person. I think I'm better.
I deserve that. Why don't I get that? Instead of operating from a place of abundance where it's like, I want other people to succeed.
As a young testosterone filled male.
Yeah.
I was like, fuck this shit.
Yeah.
And I was wrong for that.
People do a lot of stupid shit when they're younger. And because I'm a guy, I can relate with guys who do stupid shit when they're younger because I did stupid shit when I was younger. Like, you need to be able to analyze that as objectively as you can going forward. It's like, okay, well, where was I coming from? Why did I do that thing?
And I had ADHD I couldn't even control back then. Like I was like bouncing off the fucking walls. I was like probably annoying to some people, but like I was just like, I couldn't even handle that. And my opinions were flying through the roof. I was talking. Yeah.
I know I was annoying to people. Like I know for a fact.
I think so too. Me too. We're in high school. Were you like always telling jokes and shit like that? Were you like, have you consistently always been telling jokes like this? Or
it was like, man, I've always been like, I've never had the ability to shut up like ever. In elementary school.
Me either, man.
It was bad. In high school, it was bad. Like, I think of who I was and it's like, I was so immature and like, I did things for the reaction because I didn't know what else to do. And
yeah,
last year when the pandemic hit, I literally apologized to like 55 people. Just I was
reflecting
up,
it.
I would stay up at night freaking out. And again, I don't owe these people this. I don't think anybody owes anything other than what's legally contractually written. That's my personal opinion. Nobody owes you fuck all. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, but what if you're in a relationship? They owe you something. No, they don't. They could walk out, never talk to you again. What's gonna happen? What, the government gonna bring them to your house? They're gonna get arrested? They're gonna get fined? No, they won't.
No.
Unless you're married, then they owe you. Because it's contractual. But anyways.
I don't fuck with marriage.
So I literally sat up and just like reflected at night. And I apologized to so many people. And literally, I had two people be like, wow, thanks for saying that, man. Like, yeah, you know what? You did hurt me. The rest were nice. Like, I even had one person be like, I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. I'm like, huh. I was like, okay, well, I did something that wasn't cool. They're like, I've clearly forgotten and it's fine. I'm like, okay. And like a lot of people are like,
dude, bench warmers.
Yeah.
When he goes and apologizes, like, oh, who the fuck are you? Yeah. Anyways, keep going.
Yeah. But a lot of people I apologize to, like, I didn't even know that you thought that, or like, yeah, I remember that, but that was in the past. Like that was so long ago. Like I let go of that. It's not a big deal, but thank you, but it's okay.
Hey man, that's good that you did that because you probably felt some weight on your shoulders.
Totally. I was also sketching the fuck out. Like
Yeah. Like I what can I like apologize for back in the day? I don't know. I was just loud. I didn't say anything. I probably said some crazy shit. I think we all did, but
of course.
I think about that all the time too, like just being wild, young, and like during quarantine made me realize that too. Like, oh my God, like
just stupid. Like, I'm like, damn, I was dumb.
Yeah. What did I like? I said some stupid shit. I was never like mean to people, but I was like fucking just self-destructive young male.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing wild shit all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, that was me. I'm like, that was me. It still is me, but not really.
I know this is a controversial take in the modern world, but I really do think that something that men and young men, you know, boys especially, lack is positive male role models. I think men lack positive male role models.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Like, I get it. Women are great, and I'll never slander women as a whole because it's ridiculous to write off an entire group of people. But there's something about connecting with a man who you respect as a guy.
It's important.
Like, I feel like I can, and it's the same way with women, right? Like, you need somebody that you can connect with as a woman.
I think that, right? I think a huge problem with males is we never had like that therapy type session with our guys, like when we're young. Now I think it's a little different. Like, now we're able, I feel like more able to talk about our feelings and shit. But back then, when you talk about your feelings or shit like that, or you wouldn't even want to, because you're trying to be cool, you're trying to be tough.
Yeah.
You're just a young guy, right? So like, I think now it's more acceptable. That's what I will give this generation a little more credit for, is we're able to talk about that shit. But I don't know, I feel like guys weren't able to fucking talk about their shit back in the day. Even now it's still to that point where it's like,
yeah, I think so. And that kind of goes into what I think is, you know, a very positive male role model, right? Because like, I hate having the whole masculine feminine conversation with people, because people get so hung up on the term masculine and feminine that they think it needs to mean like masculine is inherently male. It's like, no, most men are generally more masculine and most females are generally feminine. But like, you don't have to be a masculine male. You can be a feminine male. You don't have to be a feminine woman. You can be a feminine female. You can be a masculine female. Like, it isn't, just recognize the balance in it. Right. And I hate having this discussion with people, but it's like, you need to understand what that means to you. And you need to understand that, you know, I personally think that masculinity and femininity are both divine. And that if you're acting in a negative, insecure way, that's not being masculine or feminine. That's my personal belief. So it's like, you need to find out what that means to you, and you need to kind of find what your purpose is on those two levels. Because it's like, you know, feminine's a more emotional, empathetic personality traits. Masculine's more like purpose. You're driven, you're ambitious. And that doesn't mean women can't be masculine or have a masculine purpose, or men can't have a feminine purpose, right? But yeah, it's one of those things that I think,
look at it.
You know, it's good to have positive male role models who aren't afraid to discuss their feelings, who aren't afraid to be honest with you, who aren't afraid to, you know, to cry or to have unconventional. Dude, this is how I am. I like to have sex with people that I care about. I know, shocking. And for the longest, I know. For the longest time, when I tell my guy friends that, they'd be like, dude, you're a pussy. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Just go bang chicks. I'm like, no, I'm like, it's gross, the idea of it. Like, I remember once this girl's clearly into me, and like, I was like, yeah, I think she's cute. And then like, I invited her over, and then I had this sense of panic. I was like, oh my God, I don't even like her that much. I just think she's hot. And I like canceled 10 minutes later. She's like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine.
That's okay though.
Never talk to her again. I felt so bad.
That's okay though. I've always been the relationship type too though. Like, I never seek satisfaction in that necessarily. Like, I never knew how to do that shit. So I'm in the same boat. It's like, I never knew how to do that. It was like, hey, why don't you? I'm like, I don't fucking care though. I don't really want to just go. Speaking of Tinder, like a Tinder. Like, what did you say?
Tinder sucks.
Tinder does suck. Yeah. Thank you. It's terrible.
My buddy was trying, he's like, I'm trying to come up with a dating app that like transcends dating apps. I'm like,
I don't know.
He's like, I need to get like, you know, people need to find connection on dating apps. I'm like, bro, that you get that in person. He's like, no, but like, they need to know before they meet the person. I'm like, that happens in person.
Do you know what actually is good? Bumble. Okay. So you don't like Bumble either?
I hate them all. I hate every day.
Because Bumble, the girl hits you up first. And that's dope. I like that.
I hate every dating app. I'm just a curmudgeon. Like, there's no.
Yeah. I don't like any of them either. But that's my fair one, because I don't feel like I'm harassing the girl necessarily. I'm like, even me saying, hey, I feel like I'm bothering the person. Yeah, I don't like to reach out to people. I just feel like I'm just bothering you.
I feel the other way. I'm like, you should want me to talk. Like, I'm awesome. I'm a great person.
Well,
I'm
no.
very fun. Oh. And I'm intelligent. So you should want me to talk to
I'm
you.
Fantastic. My game in person is fantastic. I can talk all day. Okay. I see. Over text, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. I'm like, hey, what's up? Like, okay.
And everybody has situational game. That's the thing where it's like,
yeah.
I have awful club game.
Me too. Worst club game. Worst.
I just sit on the side like I want to murder a person and just like stare at people. And I just stare and they're like, wow, Buena, are you having a good time? But like, no. And they're like, you should talk to girls. I'm like, dude, I can't even hear what you're saying. What makes you think? And then I'm going to throw in like an American History X reference. And I'm going to be like, they can't hear me and they don't get it. So they're like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's this movie.
About Nazis.
About Nazis. They're like, what the fuck's wrong with you? Oh, shit.
Yeah, no, I was never good at club game either. I don't think I've ever... Yeah, I was never good at club game. I never
To me, club game is like Kyrie Irving. Like, just all flash. Like, it's great.
That's James Harden, club game. It's literally club game.
Well, the reason why I say Kyrie Irving is because, like, if he's the best player on your team, you're fucked. You're not. Like, there's a good chance you are not going to make the playoffs. There's a very good chance of that. But if James Harden's your best player, you'll get in the playoffs.
Here's an example of me and my club game, okay?
Uh-huh. Let's hear it.
This girl's like, let's take a shot. Okay. Yeah, I'd love to. I walk up. I get two shots. The guy asks if I want to pay for both. I said no.
She's like, I'm not giving you the two. And you're like, no.
She expected me to pay for both the shots.
Mm-hmm.
Me being as cheap as I am. I was like, oh, I thought you were going to buy a shot. I was going to buy a shot. It was like a Larry David moment. It was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment where I was like, oh, you expected me to buy the shot. She's like, oh yeah. And I felt like a dick after, but I was like, oh no, I'm not doing that. You're going to use me for my shots. I thought we were just taking a shot together. We're going to go dance. Mm-hmm. And she just walked away and I took both the shots. But I just was offended. I was like, really expected me to buy both the shots.
That is really funny. I walked up to, a person once at the Palomino Club and I was like, hey, you should buy me a shot. And she just like looked stunned. I was like, wow, this is going to work. And then her friend's like, no, she's not going to fucking buy you a fucking shot, you asshole. I was like.
Yeah, just like, what the fuck? This happens to me all the time.
I was like, no worries. Have a good day. And she's like, fuck you. I'm like.
I never bought shots. I never bought shots for girls. I've never done it.
I think I've been to the club maybe like 8 times in my life.
I've done it for like the girlfriend I've had at the moment. And like maybe one of her friends. But I've never like, if someone asked me for a shot, I'm like, no, I'm good.
Man, if my girlfriend was like, we should go to the club together.
Holy fuck.
If my girlfriend was like, I think we should go to the club together, I think I'd break up with her on the spot.
That bad? You hate the club that much?
Dude, what is there to do at the club?
Like, depends on the club, though. If you like, okay, so the problem with Winnipeg, I feel, is they don't have enough good rap clubs. Like, there's I like listening to rap and trap when I'm drinking. So it's like, Union was good for that.
I don't do that at all. So yeah, I'm like, okay, you stand around. People are down. It's like, I don't want to dance. I want to talk with people. I like talking to people and getting to know them. They're like, yeah, you can still do that. No, you can't. And then drinks are super expensive. You can't sit down.
No.
You can't fucking sit down. I'm like, dude.
I like pubs.
Pubs are great.
Yeah. Pool, sit down, eat.
Coffee shops are my shit, man.
Coffee shops
are my shit.
Yeah.
That is a mismatch on the block. Throw me the ball. Let me go to work moment where it's like, I got this shit, bro. And then I make a basketball reference and then I turn it over. So it's okay. But either way.
Yeah. No, I want to ask you a couple more questions about you right now.
Yeah, of course. Go for it.
Because I was like, what can I know about Bueno that I don't know already? You've done two podcasts with me already. I think one didn't get released, but.
Yeah, of course.
But yeah, man, that's actually crazy when I think about it, to get off topic here.
Yeah.
How many years ago did you interview me?
Oh, God.
2-3 years ago?
2 years ago now.
Might have been 3.
I don't think it was because I don't think we interviewed you till 2019. Because we started late summer 2018. And I don't think you were in the first year.
No, eh?
Because I remember George Roblin being one of the first rappers we interviewed. I love George.
Yeah, no, yeah, I think it was George and he had Miazway on at some point right after.
Miazway is 2019. Neil. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Neil. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy.
So, yeah, George was like New Year's Eve. I remember that. It was released it was the first episode of 2020.
That's awesome. Do you go back with him? Is that
George? Oh, yeah. We went to the same elementary school, went to the same high school.
That's dope.
I think he's my brother's age. Or no, he's 2 years younger than my brother.
How old are you?
How old do you think I am?
I would say 27.
Wow. What the fuck? No, I'm 22.
Always forget that. Yeah, I was right. Yeah. I'm 25. Yeah. I'm 3 years older than you, which is wild. Yeah.
Well, I'm turning 23 in November. So
you're, to me, you're intellectually 27.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. No problem. Thank you. Yeah. You know what? I went on Bumble with like Bumble and Tinder. I tried like 5 different ages out. I tried like my actual age, and I tried like 24, then 26, and 28, and then like 30.
You're 22? That's fucking crazy. I'm trying to think about that. That's I'm mind blown right now. I don't know why.
Yeah. And so literally I got the most matches at like 28. Still none of them wanted to talk. I was like, wow, they can smell the bullshit.
Do you like Roblox?
Do I like Roblox? No. I
was No. You're talking to the girls.
Oh, yeah. No.
Your age is what your age.
I was a Lego kid. I was a Lego kid.
I was a Beyblade kid.
I fucking hate it when people say, do you want to play Legos? I'm like, I don't know what that is. It's Lego because it's
just one
plural as well as singular.
Yeah.
Or no, the singular was Lego block.
Okay, here's a question I have. When you were a kid, what were you like go to other than Lego? Like, what did you have?
Sports. Super one track minded. Like
me too. Yeah.
They're like, oh, so what else did you do other than sports? I played sports video games.
Did you? Yeah. What was your like? Do you like Madden? Do you like NBA Live?
But other than that, nothing. I played NBA Live 07. Like my life depended on it for like 5 years.
Seven was dope.
I was seven. Yeah, man. It was a great game.
I like 2K back in the day, like the NBA 2Ks.
I'm sure still my parents' place. NBA 2K2 on the Dreamcast.
That's fucking crazy.
With Iverson on the cover.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kwame Brown, that's his rookie class, 2001.
That's crazy.
Pau Gasol is in a rookie that year. Shane Battier is a rookie that year.
You know, my team was, I had this weird thing for like when Vince Carter got traded, I loved it. Because I like the villains for some reason. So yeah, I was like always playing. I don't know what year that was. I was like 05
or 04.
04, 05. Yeah. Yeah. I was always the Nets. Jason Kidd. They had fucking Vince Carter. And I was always the Nets. I had my Vince Carter jersey in the backyard.
Vince Carter was somebody who should have done a lot more than what he did. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I won't bang on Vince Carter.
He should have. He really should have. He was way better than.
Mm-hmm.
That was kind of the start of his down, like not downfall necessarily, but like.
He just always underachieved, I felt like. Like, it's like the Nets were talented as fuck.
They
Richard Jefferson.
They had Richard Jefferson too. Yeah. They had
Vince Carter. That was a good fucking squad. And it's like they never made the NBA Finals because like they couldn't beat the Pistons and then they didn't beat the Heat. And then LeBron's ascension was there. And then by the time Vince Carter was already, he was getting kind of old by the time the Celtics made the Finals with the Lakers. He's already 10 years in the league. And then he went to Orlando and they were supposed to be fucking dope. And then I think they lost to Boston in the conference finals.
I feel like people underestimate the Pistons and how great they were at one point.
They were very good. They were very, very good.
But no one talks about it. Like the NBA heads I talked to, they're like, oh, this team, this time. Like, did you remember Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, Chauncey Billups, Richard Hamilton? That team was one of my favorite teams growing up. That team I was obsessed with.
Yeah, they were dope. They were a dope team.
They were like the second coming of the bad boy Pistons. Like they were like,
yeah, literally. There's something about Detroit, man. But now Detroit's full of. They're not a great team right now.
I always root for them kind of on the side, just out of hopes they would get back to that point. But they had, because when Drummond was there and they had Reggie Jackson, I think,
Greg Monroe.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping that. I was like, okay, maybe because they were younger that we didn't know too much about them.
Yeah. I was never high on Andre Drummond.
Me either. But
yeah,
never. There was hopes, you know, it's false hope, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, speaking of sports, I'm proud of you and your squad, man. Your squad's going to be great. The Chargers are going to be fucking fantastic.
I hope. Fuck. I think they got some holes still.
They do, but Justin Herbert is a fucking stud.
I hope. I don't know. I just – he's a
– Did you watch Musser?
I did. He was amazing. And I was a huge fan of Herbert. A lot of people are like, this guy's a bust. And I was like, just because everybody was saying he's a bust, I'm like, yeah, he's my guy now. And then he was awesome. So
– He was incredible.
He was amazing with no O-line. I'm hoping with the improved O-line, he's just way better. So –
I think you might have a great team on your hands.
Yeah, exactly.
I think you might have a fantastic – you guys are going to blow the Raiders and the Broncos out of the water every year.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
And then the Chiefs are always going to be the talk of the town. But the Chargers, I mean, they took Corey Linsley from your squad, so.
My team is a fucking nightmare.
Feel my bad team for you, man. OKC, Green Bay, the Maple Leafs. And I've kind of like – since I live in Toronto now, I've like adopted the Maple Leafs as like a team I care about tertiarily-wise.
But you know, though, hey, the Maple, even though we get shit on, man, it's a nice squad to be part of. the Toronto Maple Leafs fans and Toronto Maple Leafs, it's a welcome community. It's a beautiful community.
They're a good team. I just, Mitch Marner needs to step his ass up.
I was watching. I was on the couch every single day, like, because every 2 days, right? So I'd watch the Jets and watch the Leafs. And I'm like, we're up 3-1. And I'm looking, I'm thinking, I laughed and I joked to my dad, oh, this is not going to happen again. Awesome, man.
It's like when the Raptors played the Cavs in 2018. Mm-hmm. As soon as JV missed that tip, you could feel the life suck out of that team. And that was the Raptors' issue, is they had no clutch gene. That was the Raptors' issue.
Toronto, it's a Toronto issue, man. It's a Toronto sports team issue right now.
If Kawhi re-signed, the Raptors would have went back-to-back. Absolutely, 150%. And now Siakam's out for 5 months. He's not going to be ready for the regular season, so.
Man, the Raptors winning, though, was one of the most special moments I think I've in my sports history life. Like, just being – watching that, I almost, like, had a weird teary moment. I was like, this is beautiful.
it was amazing. The Raptors, man, the Raptors.
I never thought I'd see it.
They're going to endure another. I think Siakam being hurt basically guarantees Lowry's leaving, which is unfortunate. But I think we're going to have another tough Raptors season coming up. Because Siakam's out for 5 months. He's going to be gone until November. So he'll miss the first month of the season. And he's not going to be able to work on his game in the summer league he normally does. So
we're pretty fucked.
They're
okay, so he has a good future, though, man. I think we have a good future in 5 years. A lot of picks.
I think the Thunder should find a team like New Orleans and just like take back Eric Bledsoe and Steven Adams and give up Horford and just like another guy you're not willing to play. Ultimately, just like, take all the picks from Milwaukee. Like, if they're going to whore for picks.
Let's do it. I'm with that.
Horford's so good.
But you know, at one point I was watching us, because I didn't watch like a lot of the regular season, because I liked, I was so upset with my team. As I was like, what am I looking forward to here? I was watching some games, but I was watching them. I'm like, you know, we have a good team for what we have. We weren't that bad. We really weren't that bad at one point.
They literally tried to they purposely lost the last 20 games in a row.
It seemed like it, because at one point I was like, wow, the Thunder can make a push here.
Yeah, Shea's awesome. Dort's good. I love Pokuševski. I love him. He's so dope.
Dort. I just like his name.
Yeah. Baisley's good. He's a good piece. And then
Alexander, man.
Yeah, and then they got Moses Brown's not bad. I'm really excited for Pokuševski, though. He's wicked.
Yeah. I'm excited about a lot of these guys. Like, I'm excited about a lot of this team. Speaking of that, actually, I got a question for you. Should I buy myself a Jordan Love jersey? Should I just go should I go balls deep and just do it?
Yes, do it. Because if he ends up getting traded, it'll be a hilarious footnote in the team's history. Like, if he ends up being nothing, like, they just get rid of him and it was like, why did you draft this guy? It'd be hilarious. If he ends up sucking, it's really funny. And if he's great.
Rogers is not coming back, man.
There's nothing better than a funny jersey.
You know, guess my cousin had Jamarcus Russell jersey.
It's amazing. Why did you get it?
He got it as soon as, because the Raiders were like so bad at that point. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh man, this is the next guy. Jamarcus Russell's the best quarterback to come out. And then he just was shit. The worst quarterback I've ever seen. But he had a Jamarcus Russell jersey.
Mm-hmm. It was pretty bad.
You think Rodgers will come back?
No.
I don't think so either. Why would he?
No, he comes back.
He might go to Broncos.
I'd probably kill myself with that. You got to play Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes 4 times a year. That sucks.
But you know what? The thing is, though, Rodgers could have the shitty stick there, too. Because he's facing Patty and he's facing Justin Herbert. And Herbert's not going to fucking lay down.
He was awesome. And the Chargers O-line was terrible last year. And he was awesome.
They'll get better.
So, like, and they revamped the O-line. Like, Rashawn Slater was not supposed to go 13th. And they got him at that tackle.
And I love Lindsley, man.
Yeah,
you'll be happy with Lindsley over there.
Ode Ibushi's also pretty good, and Matt Filer's also, like, they're both solid. It's like, but if they're next to studs all around, it's like they're just going to increase their level of play. So I think the Chargers have a nice offensive line. I think they should have went and got Julio Jones. Fuck it, man. Go all out. You know how much versatility that would have given you with Keenan Allen compared to slot now? And he's great at playing slot.
They got Julio for a second and a fifth.
Yeah, literally, the Chargers really fucked up by not doing that. Because the Chargers don't have a great running game. Like, Austin Eckler's good. Justin Jackson's good. Joshua Kelly's good.
That's what they need to improve on for sure.
But like, Julio Jones would have been awesome.
Eckler's a better receiving back than a running back.
He is. And I'm glad that the Chargers have gotten away from the idea that they needed a ground and pound to win games because it's just not their game. There's just something about the Chargers. Like, they've always been an air it out team.
Always. They always have, since I was a kid.
Yeah, Dan Fouts, they're an air it out team. Phillip Rivers, they're an air it out team. And like
Drew Brees.
Yeah, Drew Brees. And then, I mean,
they had Tomlinson for a bit.
Yeah, they had Tomlinson for a bit, which is true. But like, to me, the Chargers have always been about let it fly. Always.
It's their name, the Chargers, man. It seems like a fly type
team. It's supposed to be fun.
Packers is mostly like don't draft or don't trade for anybody. Grow in the house. Yeah, just sabotage your whole thing. Okay, so I'm going to ask you just two questions here before we leave.
Sure.
What inspired the Bueno Report? Because I'm gonna do a little plug. This is your plug for your show here.
Thank you. I took this comedy business course. I bought it. I still need to finish it. I got really great progress. I'm on the last module and COVID's kind of hit me hard. But I was doing this, then they said, you know, look at the people that you admire and whatever they're doing. Like, why don't you just start doing it from a grassroots level? Not in terms of like stealing their voice, but like, what's something that can inspire you to start your own thing? And Schultz did his rants that summer. I was like, why don't I just start doing that? And then I just started doing it. And it was awesome.
Yep. I agree. I was really happy that you did that. It seemed like, even though it was like a Schultz like inspired thing, since I've known you years ago, that's been your shit. Yeah.
I felt like I can do this. And I feel like it fits. Like, it's not a stretch. Like, why the hell is Bueno doing that? It's like, this makes complete sense.
No, yeah, because if you know who you are, and I've talked to you for years now, it's like, that's Bueno. Bueno, he's gonna fucking, he has an insight on this shit.
Thank you.
No problem. Where do you see yourself in 10 years?
10 years? Oh, fuck. I have this written on my whiteboard in Toronto. Literally have it written on my whiteboard. I think I'm going to, I'm gonna have $50 million.
15?
50, 50.
50, okay.
50, $50 million. I'm gonna have, an appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience. I'm gonna have an appearance on Flagrant 2. I'm gonna have an appearance on Brilliant Idiots. At least two, yeah. And I think I'm going to have 5 comedy specials by that point, whether how many of them are on Netflix or Prime or whatever the hotspot platform is. But I'm going to have 5 of those, yeah.
I want that for you.
Thank you. It's going to happen. So thank you. I appreciate you predicting
the track. It's going to happen, and I can't wait for it to happen up with that.
Thanks, man. Sure. I'm going to be doing comedy still, and I'm not going to be working my day job. I'm going to be podcasting and writing and doing comedy full time. It's going to be amazing. That's exactly what I was put on this earth to do. So
I'm the same as you, man. I speak everything to existence. I really to say everything out, to say everything out loud, even if it seems absurd, which is, I don't think yours is absurd, but I think like,
not at all.
I'll say wild shit all the time. Like, this is going to happen. Might not happen, but if it does, boy, is that great.
Jeff Bezos is worth $200 billion. Do you realize somebody like 100 years ago would be like, that's insane. There's no way that would ever happen.
He did it. Look at there's so many stories that it makes it possible these days, especially with the tools we have. The tools we have are insane.
Literally.
We
can do whatever we want.
What's your kryptonite?
My kryptonite. Nikola Jokic passing highlights. I literally in 2015, I was like, Jokic is the shit and he's my guy. Like, cause he ate the Raptors alive. And I was like, this guy's actually fucking legit and he's gonna be a star. And people are like, you're on crack. And Jokic is the MVP. And I'm like,
man, I've never seen
sports equivalent of buying Bitcoin in 2014.
It is. And his body type and the way he looks, it doesn't make any sense. The way how athletic he is and his passing motion, it doesn't make any fucking sense. I was watching his highlights for MVP. I'm like, this guy, you never expected.
So what's my kryptonite? How? Let me give you an actual answer.
Okay, so kryptonite, well, that technically is it's a very, I guess, vague question. Mm-hmm. Maybe your weakness. So that might be it too, right?
I think things through. So I'm a big believer that our best qualities are our worst qualities because we steer into them because it's what helps us progress, right? Yep. So if you're somebody who's fiery, you know, like I'm very fiery. So when I was very immature, it turned into aggression and anger instead of ambition and drive. And it pushed people away. Right. And I always kind of had to monitor that for a while. And I think I've done a pretty good job, but I think a lot of things through, and my weakness right now is I overthink.
Yeah. Same here. That's 100% my issue.
I overthink, but I think I've done a really good job of acting regardless of the overthinking and being able to like, just watch it. It gets annoying sometimes though.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. Like, it's like, I have a problem with, I can't even speak around. I have a problem with my mind stopping. Just doesn't fucking stop. So yeah, that's annoying. But I'm, yeah, it's because it, the things that you can care and love the most about yourself are the most detrimental to you sometimes.
Mm-hmm,
it's like it could just be the worst thing for you. But that's the beautiful thing about life. It's interesting. Mm-hmm. How'd you link with Strangers Media?
That comedy course. It was like, what are some local brands that you can work with? And I was like, I went to high school with Dave. Yeah. I was like, oh, Dave is running his own thing. Let me just hit him up. And I honestly, the idea for the Buena Report came 20 minutes before I started talking to Dave. So the day before I was like, hey man, I was wondering if I could help out with your company somehow. He's like, okay, like, what do you want to talk about specifically? I was like, well, do you want to just talk tomorrow and we could see what you need help with? He's like, okay, sure. Then as I was parking, like as I was driving, I was like, I should do the Andrew Schultz thing. I was like, it like clicked. The other part of the course clicked. I was like, I should do that. And then I got in there. He's like, so what do you want to talk about? I was like, well, I actually just came with this idea of a show called like the Buena Report. He's like, dope. What do you want to talk about? And Matt just went to Code Red. I was like, we should talk about Code Red. He's like, okay, do you want to film tomorrow? I was like,
that's fucking crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then we
that's the best way to go about it, man. When you go into it like fresh with that energy,
yeah,
it's the best way. It's the best way to do anything.
Then we released 2 days later on my birthday, which the only birthday post I'll ever make is this year when I turn 23, because I'm going to put it's my Draymond year.
It is.
And then everybody's going to be like, oh, wow, you're a fucking dumbass. And then they'd be like, it's supposed to be your Jordan year. And I'd be like, I don't know who that is. And I'm just going to do it to piss people off. Like and then that. When I turn 77, it's going to be my Damari Carroll year when he was on the Spurs.
I love your basketball fucking mentality, man. I love it. Do you have, are you actually like, so do you just love basketball or can you hoop too?
I used to play college ball. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you can hoop like a motherfucker.
I got I got a $1,000 scholarship to play in Ontario.
Jesus.
Which is good enough to get picked within the first three picks at a men's league pickup, which is good enough for me.
Okay, so are you a like post-up guy? Are you an outside guy? Are you a power forward? Like, what are you?
I'm a gunner. You're shoot threes like my life depends on.
Okay, word. Okay. We'll have to play a game one day, man.
Yeah, exactly. So, like, dude, my favorite players are guys who launch threes. Steph, Clay, Damari Carroll.
Mine are the guys in the post, man. I'm a post guy.
I love shooting threes. And especially, like, I was playing men's league with my coworkers last year. And I started the game 0-7 from three or something ridiculous. And then we were down by like 20. And I think, not 20, we were down by like 15. And I got us within like 4 points because I just hit my next three and like got a couple layups. So I was like, wow, where the fuck was that the whole game?
You had to get warmed up.
Yeah, exactly.
Me, I pride myself on offensive rebounds.
Yeah.
And I just am in the post all the time.
Mm-hmm. You know what I love, actually? My favorite thing, and I don't think people do it enough in basketball, quick outlet passes on a make. So as soon as the ball goes through the rim, I sprint, one foot down, and I'm looking down the court for the touchdown.
Yeah, because no one's really prepared for that. And usually when you're, especially when you're playing outside with some guys who aren't like all in shape completely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You could just take advantage of that shit. Like, okay, I'm going to go for the outlet pass, and I'm going to fucking bomb it because like they're not even back on defense yet.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I love doing. And especially like, or if you get the inbounds pass, like if they score, I'll be like, yo, inbound quickly. As soon as they inbound, I'll look up and I'm ready to like, whoever's running, I'm throwing you the ball. In that men's league game, literally same thing happened. They gave it to me, caught it, looked, and I, guy was like a step or two behind the defender. The defender was backpedaling. I'm like, oh, this is easy money. I'm just going to aim for the bottom of the backboard. He'll catch it. He was like 6'4". I was like, he'll catch it.
Yeah, no, that makes me miss ball. I went to go play ball the other day.
Mm-hmm.
I had a couple of drinks with my brother and I went biking there with him and they actually fenced it off. Like they actually like put like a lock on it and that was one of the, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Like I thought about even taking like some pliers to, or just something. I was like thinking about ways, I guess, because some people actually tried doing it already because there was like, they actually repaired it.
Oh, wow.
I'm probably snitching on myself, but I was really good. I was thinking about it. I was
fucking, man, who cares? Who cares?
I want to take some shit to it. I was trying to like, I was like, can we saw through this? Can we just trim it off? Can we
in just Ontario, the full courts, the full court hoops have literally like wooden boards nailed through them.
That's bullshit.
I don't like jokes on you. I'm playing ultimate with all my friends, like ultimate, you know, like you warm up in practice with ultimate. Yeah. I'm like, I don't do that. It's not as fun, obviously, but like, it's still awesome.
There's a couple courts here in Transcona that are not too bad, but like the Oxford, you obviously know Oxford. That's the one I like going to because, you know, it's fucking nice nets. But I found some mint ones, but Jesus, like they're pretty much banning basketball outside. They're
St. John's.
St. John's is good.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. It's a great court, and it's always open.
What else do I have for you? I have so many questions. I think there's so many things that we could talk about.
Of course.
On how far we are into this interview here. What have we not covered yet?
I don't know. I mean, we also like went off air for like an hour and 10. So
we talked about some good content off air, man.
So it's always how it happens.
I'm new to this shit.
Always how it happens.
Okay. Well, what inspired your comedy career actually? That's something I actually never really got to ask.
I'm an attention whore. I love making people laugh. And we had Julian on the podcast when we first started in 2018. And I was like, this is awesome. Then when we had Spencer on, I was like, I need to try this. Like, I need to write a joke and go to an open mic and sign up and actually try it. And then I tried and I loved it. And I was terrible at it. And I kept being terrible at it. And I was seeing this girl at the time who insisted on seeing every single set of mine. So she'd watch me be terrible at something that I was super new at. And it was humiliating. And then we broke up and I kept being terrible at it. And then I was broke because I was supposed to get hired by TSN 1290. By the way, if anybody ever listened to my old podcast and I'm like, oh, there's this radio station I used to work for. It was TSN 1290. I worked.
Yeah. For. And we talked about that a long time
ago. Yeah. But now that they're liquidated, I can say whatever the hell I want because the fuck are they going to do? And so they were like, we're going to hire you. So I quit all my jobs. And then they're like, oh, but some guy's quitting, but with the union, it's difficult. So I literally waited for 2 months and I was like, okay, I'm getting another job. Fuck this. Because you're not hiring me. So I was unemployed and my parents were like, yeah, you can't just borrow the car. You need to pay for gas. I didn't even have money to fucking pay for my parents' gas. And I was using my credit card space to rent out Airbnbs to get with girls. Just a chaotic point in my life. So I would bike from South Point all the way to Wee Johnny's to do comedy and to be terrible and to eat shit and bike all the way home.
It's part of the process though. Builds character. Awesome. It builds character. I was shit at rapping for how many years, you know? And I didn't even think it. The worst part about me was like, I thought it was dope. And I was like, Jesus. Mm-hmm. I look back to that, some of that stuff. It's like, it's brutal. It's part of the process. It builds a chip on your shoulder. It makes you learn a lot about your craft.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I saw one of your sets a couple of years ago too. And I actually really liked it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's gotten better.
It was really good. I had a really good night.
Thank you. I remember that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was you. Who else was there? I don't think Garrett was there. I think Garrett was at a different night. But Garrett was there.
Yeah, I can't remember who was on that night.
But yeah, I went specifically to go see you because you're like, oh, come. I think I went to the podcast and I was like, oh, we have to go see you. But I know he does comedy.
I remember that.
Was a really fucking good night.
That was a good time.
I was going to say here, what inspired your comedy career? Yeah, I think if you want to just plug anything.
Yeah, sure.
Do you want to talk about Thinkster quick?
People are dogpiling unnecessarily. If you know what's happening about Thinkster, you know what I'm talking about. If you don't, look it up on Twitter. It's not fair to cherry pick a couple of questions on an app that literally has thousands of questions to use it to slander somebody's character and drag them through the mud, which is unfair. If you have an issue with something, that's not an issue. That's not the problem. If you criticize things, it's when you go and unfairly drag their character if you don't know who they are personally. That's what I'll say. When's this going to release, by the way?
It might tomorrow morning. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll plug this then. This is a good point to end. Tomorrow. So Sunday, June 13th.
No, Saturday. Oh, yeah. Saturday. Okay. So let's go.
It's Saturday because we're recording this on Saturday. It's Friday right now, but it's recording Friday, releasing Saturday. So releasing tomorrow morning, releasing this morning. It's Friday, June 12th right now.
Right now.
Tomorrow, Sunday, June 13th. The Buono Report. We're doing an emergency episode on Thinkster. I'll explain the whole situation. I'll explain my take on it. And I'll explain where those guys can improve because there were some things that they fucked up. But guess what? When you try something new, you're going to fuck up. And you need to be willing to try to learn from those mistakes. Otherwise, what are we doing?
Yeah. It's okay to be wrong.
Of course. And a lot of people message me. They're like, Julian has nothing to apologize about. I don't know whatever he's making a big stink about. However, there is a group of people who's louder than everybody else. And they're able to control the narrative online because they have people that will rally behind them because of the ones making noise.
My opinion is like, let's not be aggressive. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's talk about it.
It's not fair to an app that was being beta tested for 8 months with over 1,000 users on it.
Yeah.
You're simplifying it too much. And if you think every question's shitty, I'm sorry I asked who you think the best recent NBA champion is. I'm sorry you were offended by that. Because there are a lot of questions on there. It's not just a political tool.
90% of them are. 90% of the questions are like that.
Yeah, 90% of the questions aren't political.
Yeah.
Like, they're about sports and music and, like, what your favorite kind of wings are.
Lemon pepper.
I'm actually not a wings guy. I feel sick when I eat wings. I know. Yeah. I like boneless
wings. Hey, do you know though? Fuck everybody who disses boneless wings. I always get clowned for boneless wings. I go somewhere.
They're awesome.
You pussy. You do. No. Boneless wings are good. Grow up.
I don't get it. They're like, this is chicken nuggets. Yeah. So you don't like chicken nuggets?
Chicken nuggets are the best.
Am I wrong for wanting to have lemon pepper chicken nuggets?
That sounds fucking amazing.
That's right.
Anyways, yeah. I want you to do your best plug right now. Plug everything you're doing right now in your life. Do whatever you shout out who you need to shout out. Bueno, I appreciate having me on the podcast.
Follow me on Instagram at Bueno No Bueno. You can see all my videos on there. You can see all my memes. I had two memes go crazy viral. One of my memes, I like to make fun of the Manitoba health restrictions online. One of them said you're allowed. Actually, I'm not even going to spoil it, but he got 5,000 shares. You'll know which one it is when you see it. My most recent one got over 1,500 shares. I released the Bueno Report weekly. The scheduling's been a bit fucked up, so we've released two last week, and we're going to release two this week as well. You can follow me on Instagram for all the latest updates. They're also on YouTube on Strangers Media's YouTube channel. And that's about it. I'm going to be in Toronto, so if you're in Toronto listening to this, and there are comedy shows going on, which there are, because patio season's back open, you can gather up to 10 people outside. I'm going to be doing sets in Toronto. It's going
to
be a good fun.
You have sets ready?
Yes. When I get back to Toronto, I have sets
ready. Fuck yeah. Record them, man. Record them live.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Record them.
Andre, you're a great man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, no problem at all. I'll make sure I link everything you just talked about in the bio. I wish you luck, man. And I love talking to you because we talked for an hour and a half before. But I appreciate you, man. And keep speaking your mind. Keep doing your thing. And I appreciate you.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me on. Have a good one.
No problem. Take care. Peace.
Peace, everyone.